This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 240 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. It's my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are continuing down the river of crap. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. We're doing poorly reviewed, okay? The poorly reviewed action films. This is where we tried to find movies with very low Rotten Tomato scores and see if maybe there's some hidden gems in there or the critics got it wrong. Now, the first time we did this last year, I think we found one that we enjoyed pretty good and the rest, they kind of crapped the bed. So far this month, we've done Dragon Ball. And now this episode, we're going to be doing a little movie called Bangkok Dangerous. Now, Alex, I know you haven't seen this, but had you ever even heard of this movie?
Nope.
Okay. Interesting. Not that interesting. I don't blame you. This did come out in the theaters, by the way. It made $42 million worldwide on a $45 million budget. So it was a big money loser with marketing and everything. I do remember when this came out on Blu-ray, because it has that picture of Nicolas Cage like doing this thing with the long hair. So, and that's all. I thought I have seen this, but when I watched it today, I don't think I've seen it. So I'm going to say it's a first time watch for both of us.
Okay.
All right. Now, before we go into this, let's get the Rotten Tomatoes scores. This is what got it on this episode. This is sitting with a 9% critics score. And this is the baffling part, a 26% audience score. So one out of every four people who reviewed this liked it. Interesting. What do you think?
That is very interesting for this type of movie. I would say that for the least. The nine for the critics?
Not surprising.
Not surprising.
Not that surprising.
Not surprising for this type of movie. No. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you get to go first on this one because I want to hear what you have to say about Bangkok Dangerous. Now, of course, the lead character, he's a guy named Joe, and he is played by Nicolas Cage. Please, my friend, take it away. What did you think?
Well, Joe will get a two. Joe was decent. He was decent. His character was a decent character. He's an assassin that goes by the rules, another generic go by the rules character put on screen for us, but played by the iconic Take Your Money Nicolas Cage on any film.
That's his new nickname now.
Take Your Money Cage. Cause this dude, I'm gonna be honest. He's a great actor. When he finds the right projects that hones on his acting skills, he is great. But man, this guy takes some other roles that I'm like, what is going on with? Like, did he take it because he was high? Did he lose a bet? Why did he take Bangkok Dangerous? I just don't know why. Because this is honestly, the character's so generic. He's an assassin. Falls in love with a deaf girl that's deaf. Not saying it as a joke. I'm not saying it as a joke. She does sign language because you can't hear, right? And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm okay with that flaw. It is what it is. Then breaks his one of the rules that he kills everybody that brings his suitcase, but decides to train this kid how to fight, how to become him. And he called them the whatever he called them in that language, in Bangkok language. Yeah. Right? And I'm like, okay, very generic. I thought the kid was going to turn on him. Kong. Yeah, I thought he was going to change the apprentice, like he goes after him, but it didn't go that way. So I was like, okay, good. But after that, I mean, the movie itself, I mean, the character itself, just it's a one-dimensional character. Like, I don't even like talking in this dimensional shit, but I hate like trying to talk like if I know what the hell I'm using these big words for, but
oh my gosh.
I'm trying to make it sound cool, but man, this dude is the one most one-dimensional. Like he's like, how can I explain this character? This character is like going into the Phantom Zone in Superman when they go in the mirror and they flat. that's him. That's this character. Okay. He's going to Phantom Zone. Anyway, I gave it a two. He's decent. And yeah, just very.
This is pretty crazy. This is pretty crazy because I was worried that I might be, I might like go above you, but I gave him a two also.
Okay.
So I think as a character, you know, we're scoring character on paper. I think he's okay. So I gave him a two. Like, he is very one note. You're right. He is generic. You have seen him before. This guy's like, it's like the transporter. right? Transporter got rules. Don't open the package. Don't do this. Don't. It's the same crap. They've made a... Transporter came out before this. So if anything, this is a copycat. But this is copying a million other movies. I have these rules. I got to follow the rules. Number one, you know, never meet the person who's the contractor. Number two, get out while you're alive. Number three, don't talk to anybody. And number four, make sure you escape or something, you know, something like that. I just watched this like an hour ago and I already forgot, but it's something like that. And of course he screws up because he meets the deaf pharmacist named Fawn, and he's just so smitten with her. And then it's all downhill from there. Then instead of killing the guy, he always hires these like pickpocket people to help him, and then he kills him. And instead he teaches this guy self-defense in one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen, where he's just going again.
Oh, the knife.
Again. Oh my yeah, gosh. I mean, this is like Steven Seagal in Under Siege, except horrible. Like, yeah. He's just going like this with his hands. And it goes for like 4 minutes long. Like, they just keep doing it. I'm like, oh my God, please let's move on. But anyway, he has some dimension. So I can't give him like I can't give him a one, but Nicolas Cage was half asleep through most of his performance. He barely changes facial expressions. The only part where he really acts is when he's eating the spicy food at that restaurant. He's like, oh, spicy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and then she gives him the leaves
and stuff. Yeah, that's like the most acting he does. Otherwise, he's pretty, I mean, as far as his face, you know, he does the action and stuff. But I give him a two as well. I agree. I don't think he's the worst. He's no Goku from Dragon Ball, but he's not very, he's not very good either. All right, main villain, who it turns out, I guess we got to go with, his name is Surratt. He's like the gangster who hires him.
Yeah.
But he's barely in the movie, but what did you think?
He is ass. I gave him a one for ass. This dude is garbage. He's a fat dude that pretty much is eating Chinese food or whatever the hell it is with his family.
Yeah, Thai food.
Oh, Thai food, yeah, with his family. Pretty much goes, tries to figure out who's Nicolas Cage is. That is all. Then he goes, I want to send to kill him. That's it. That is really legit. Yeah. And he doesn't do nothing. He just gets killed at the end, which we'll talk about the storyline. But this character was ass. I don't know what to say because he is ass, and people with ass gets not much description, because honestly, I really don't know what to talk about. He's really a mobster's type character. Mm-hmm. Pretty much hires Nicolas Cage without seeing his face to do this assassinations on all these people with briefcases. And other than that, they never come to contact until the last 2 minutes of the movie. And that's it. It's pretty much ass. So I gave him a one.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. I gave him a one as well. He's barely in the movie. He's just a mob guy who hires this guy to assassinate people. It's all very random. And then at the end, he's like, we got to find out. He's going to know who I am. And if they catch him, he's going to report me. We got to kill the girl. We got to kill his friend Kong. We got to kill them all. and then other people do all the bidding.
Yeah,
that's it. I just told you his whole part. He's on screen for 10 minutes, maybe one. I don't want to keep going. You are correct. He's horrible. And even at that, technically, Nicolas Cage is a villain in this movie because he's a freaking hitman who murders people. So it's one of those movies where there's no true hero. There's just a guy that you follow. And I guess you have to root for him because he's on the screen. But they're all bad guys. Kong, I guess, is probably the only, like, no, he's a pickpocket. The deaf girl's the only one who's, like, good, pretty much. They're all bad. Okay, this is what we're here for. Let's talk a little bit about action scenes.
All right, action is awful. I cannot find a really good scene that I could go, okay, I could give this exit. I mean, the action scenes were boring. I never seen an action scenes that were boring. I never seen a movie. I mean, Dragon Ball Z has some shit scenes, but at least they were entertaining and funny. Like, I was laughing at those. This one was a boring ass action. Like, boring. I gave it a one. And I normally never give a movie that has a lot of action scenes a one, but it's stale. It's generic. It's like nothing creative at all with this guy. And honestly, this is the first time we're really going deep into action like this, but it is I never seen an action movie that's 2 hours or an hour and 50 something minutes or something that it was just boring. It was just boring. And I gave it a one.
Yeah. So, okay. I know exactly what you're saying. There's something about it that it just doesn't like hit. Nothing hits. Nothing feels like it hits hard ever. Yeah. You know, there is action in it, mostly in the second half. In the first half, it's very light. And like this, like he drowns a guy in a pool. Like that's not really action, but that's the kind of a hits he's doing at first. And then, you know, here's where I was going to give it a two. I was like, okay, there's action here. But then you're right. Like it just, as it's going, I'm like, but I feel nothing. Like I don't feel any, like this is not very well shot. It's not the worst looking action either, but it's just bland. It's bland. This is like mashed potatoes with no butter or salt. Or anything. Yeah. It's just a cooked potato. You know what I mean?
It's like rice without seasoning.
This is unseasoned rice. You can eat it. You can eat it and your body will accept it, but your taste buds won't like it. And that's what this movie is as far as action. Unseasoned rice. You're right. It's just, I minus the point because once we got to the boat scene where those boats, like when they're shot close up, they look like they're going fast. But when it zooms out, they're going really slow. And then he's slowly driving on that dirt bike. And then he crashes it into a wall and it explodes like it's a bomb. It was only going 20 miles an hour. Like it would not explode like that. And then he shoots the guy. It goes through the guy and the boat, which is, what kind of gun is he? He's shooting a handgun. I don't know. There's just so much stuff that's like, uh-uh. And at the end, he's in the red room and he got two guns. When he walks up behind the guy and he puts the guns over him, like this, I'm like, oh my God, what is this? I swear those directors thought it looked cool. It didn't look cool. It was really lame. I have to give it a one. And maybe I did see this, you know, I just saw John Wick 4 the other day. Maybe that made it where like, if this sound effects don't punch me in my gut, I'm going to give it a low score, but it didn't help. I'll tell you what, watching this after any other good action movie, you will give it a one or a zero if you have that scale. So I'm with you, my friend. I gave it a one. All right. Storyline.
Another dud. This is a dud. It's a one. It's
on the train.
It's a train to the one train, baby. It's very, very boring. This movie is boring. There is no light at the end of the tunnel with this movie, man. I thought there would be. I thought because it's Nicolas Cage, it could have been one of those sleeper hits. But no, dude, this movie is god awful in terms of pacing. And it is so slow. It's like watching a turtle run, this damn movie. The storyline is boring. It is such a generic storyline. The only hope I can say is when he went on a date with the girl. I will say, you know what? That's the only time I was like, okay, wow, that's actually pretty cool. And when he killed the two guys in the park and she saw him. Other than that, the movie sucked ass. And let me get to this ending, because this ending had me going, what the fuck? He kills himself with the other guy, which I'm like, why? No one saw you. You could have just got out the car and you could have left. Why did you decide to kill yourself in front of everyone? I don't understand. It was just a horrible trip. That's when I literally was like, if I owned this movie, I would have threw it out the window, like into the street.
Take it out and snap it in half.
Yeah, I would have snapped it in half. And the other time that I ever did that was playing MLB The Show 08. I took it out of my system and snapped it because I got so frustrated. But yeah, that I can't. This movie is awful. I gave it a one.
So let me tell you something. This is a remake. I know we had said that this is a remake of a Thai movie from 8 years before. And I know you mentioned earlier, why would Nicolas Cage want to be in this movie? He's the one who bought the rights to make the remake. So I'm guessing he saw the first one, liked it, thought it was cool. He wanted to make it. Now, let me tell you something. I read the synopsis for the first one and it sounds way better than this. Now it's similar. All the names are the same. Okay. Joe is an assassin who has an apprentice named Kong and the girl is named Fawn. But here's where it's different. The story is told from the perspective of Kong, not Joe. And Kong is mute and deaf, and he's like an assassin in training. And he's the one who dates the girl, not old Joe, not old Nicolas Cage Joe. So Nicolas Cage took it and said, I'll play the old veteran assassin, but then made it about his character rather than the younger person. So the original sounds much more interesting to me. You know what I mean? From the perspective of Kong, and he's the deaf one instead of the girl. He's like, Nicolas Cage said, I ain't playing no deaf. Make the girl. gonna make the girl deaf. Not me. I ain't playing no deaf. She's deaf. So it's different, but it's similar. Look, you're right. This story is I'm not lying to you. I was like, it was hard for me to keep my eyes open through most of this movie. Like I was watching it in my room and I'm like, I'm doing those like long blinks. Cause I'm like, nothing is happening. Nothing. And the funny thing is I'm pretty sure I fell asleep for like 3 minutes And when I woke up, I felt like I missed nothing. Like, it was just, there's nothing happening. So, yeah, it's pretty bland. There's a part in overall, I'll say, for my favorite part of the movie, but the story's horrible. It's super, it has a plot. The plot is this guy, he's an assassin. He's doing his one last, they're always doing one last job. This is his last job, and then he's going to get out. He makes a couple of wrong moves by breaking his rules, and it kind of unravels the job. That's like the basic premise of it. But it's told in such a way that it drags out. This movie has about 30 minutes of content, and it's an hour and 40 minutes. So the rest of the time, they're just like doing stuff you don't care about or walking around or going on dates. It's like, oh, my God, please stop. Just going to meet his mom. What is your work? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about my work. No one cares about your work. One. All right. Overall.
Overall is a one. It's mm-hmm. not an entertaining movie at all. This movie is not entertaining. And I do when we do this shitty month, I try to go in here with the most benefit of the doubt going, you know what? I'm going to enjoy one of these shits. And it's so hard to when you watch shit like this, bro. Like,
yeah.
Who made, like, why would you want to make this movie? Now, if you're going to tell me that Nicolas Cage decided to change the creativity of the film and do all this plot switching around, then you know what? Fall on him, because this shit was garbage. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. Like I said, pacing was so slow. I mean, so slow. Everything felt so weird at times. Nicolas Cage was weird at times. You're right. He looked like he didn't want to fucking be there, but he's there. I don't know. I mean, they're shooting guns in the back of someone's house.
Yeah.
And there's another house across from where they're shooting watermelons. How is that possible? Like, the kid was missing.
The target practice scene.
Yeah, with a house next to it. You could have been shooting people across the damn way. But anyway, the movie was just so uninspiring. Now, it's not like I'm looking for the meaning of life in these movies, but I'm just saying it was just like, it's just not so good at all. It's just, I mean, the music was even horrible.
And there's parts with no music. This is like silence. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible.
This shit was whack. Anyway, I gave it a one.
Tell you about my favorite scene, just looking at Nicolas Cage's, like, I was like, what else did he make at this time? So for 2007, no, we'll go 2006 to this movie, right? So live action, he was in World Trade Center. Okay, critically did okay. The Wicker Man, which is horrible. Ghost Rider, the movie Next. National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
I like that one.
Then this movie. Then Knowing, which I kind of like Knowing.
I never seen Knowing.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Then he was in the gerbil animated live action movie G-Force. And then he was in an animated movie called Astro Boy. And then he ended 2009, by the way, where he had like five movies with actually good reviews in a movie called Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. And then he had Kick-Ass right after that. So it's a sandwich of crap. And this falls somewhere in the middle. But I'm going to put it right like smack dab at the bottom of the pyramid of garbage. Like,
yeah,
maybe The Wicker Man's worse than this, but that's it. Everything, I would rather watch any of those other movies than this movie. Now, let me tell you my favorite scene, Alex. And this is where I give it a one, by the way. It's terrible. It's a horrible movie. It's sleeping. If you want to take a nap, put on Bangkok Dangerous, you'll fall right asleep. My favorite scene is when he's at the pharmacy. Okay. He goes back for fun and he goes to the girl. He says, tell her that I want to take her out for dinner. He tells the other pharmacist, tell her that I want to go out for dinner. And the other pharmacist goes, and I know people who are listening can't see what I just did, but this lady, okay, pointed at her, pointed at him, put her fingers together, and then made like she was eating food. I'm like, he could have done that himself. He could have really, he thought she was going to do some real sign language, and she just does like miming them going to eat. That is this movie in a nutshell. It's so stupid. It is so, that summarizes how I feel about this movie. That part made me laugh so hard. And then their story has the war. Like, she's just like, nope. He shoots those people in the street. And she's like, nope, I'm out. I'm done with you. And that's it. And they just, there's no like, there's nothing. She just dumps him, and like moving on with my life. So
well, no, he goes back. He goes back to her at the end, and then she realized she loved him, and then she ran and he left to go kill the kid. I mean, to kill those gangs. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean,
is that a real horrible resolution to that? Like, she literally dumps him. He goes and sits outside on his motorcycle. She closes the blinds, and then nothing until the very he goes back, and then she's like, no, actually, but it's like there's nothing else. It's weird. It was a weird choice.
Yeah.
I gave it a 1, so we should have the same exact total points. We have a 6, right?
Yeah.
So this is 1 point better than Dragon Ball Evolution. I honestly feel comfortable with that. I think that's worse. This movie's not good.
But no.
That movie's like offensively bad, where this is just boring.
Well, if you know Dragon Ball is offensively bad. Like, I don't know Dragon Ball. So for me to go, it's offensively bad. But from watching now that I saw footage and clips and everything, it's got awful. I mean,
it's PG. Awful, like, it's for little kids. At least this is R, like, there's blood. But not as bad as that, so I'm okay giving it the 1 point more. But it's close, pretty close. Now, moving on, next week, we got a fun one next week. One fun one and one we'll see. We're going to do a little Batman Returns. So that'll be our franchise movie. And then our next poorly reviewed film with I did this last week with this movie. Let's look up what that Rotten Tomato score is so we can prepare our listeners. All right, so the next movie we're going to be doing has another 9, so a 9% critic score. So we're going double nines here. We're doing a little movie from 2006 called Ultraviolet. Now, I'll be honest, I saw this movie.
I'm not gonna lie, I own it. I never saw it because you know what? Look, I'm gonna date myself. Well, besides that, this is when Blu-rays first came out. If you remember this, I don't know if people remember this though. When Blu-rays first came out, and you buy a Blu-ray player, it comes with a pamphlet that you get 5 free movies.
Oh.
And if one of the 5 free movies I got was Ultraviolet because it was Sony, right? Sony made it. So it was part of the whole Resident Evil franchise, right? Screen Gems or some shit?
Is it? Let's see. So, no, it's Sony Pictures Entertainment.
Yeah, so Sony Pictures. So it was like 5 movies from Sony Pictures you get for free because you purchased a $600 PS5. I mean, I'm sorry, a Blu-ray player at the time. So that was my free movie, but I never got to see it. So
Well, I saw this at the theater when I was just with my friend Chico. By the way, that was his name. What was his last name?
Chico.
Well, my friend Chico. We went to see this movie when we were 19 years old, fresh out of high school. Let's do the same thing we did last week. Let's give you the synopsis because you've never seen it. In late 21st century, a vampiric disease modifies some people. That's literally what it says. Imbuing each of them with superhuman strength, intelligence, and speed. Worldwide civil war looms as normal people, feeling threatened by their enhanced brethren, demand the extermination of the group. One such transformed female, Mila Jovovich, finds herself caught in the crossfire when she becomes the protector of a boy who is perceived to be a threat to humanity. Now, whoever wrote the line, a vampiric disease modifies some people, it should be fired. I hope they don't work in this field anymore. That's a horrible tagline. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. I didn't know this was a first time watch for you. I have seen it. And I'm excited. I'm excited for your opinion. That's all I'm going to say. I'm looking forward to see what you think. That's what we got coming up next week.
Well, there you have it. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, head over to Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or follow us at youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.